A new exhibit at 516 Arts opens Saturday night in Albuquerque, Art at the Border, 21st Century Responses. And I'm joined here on Women's Focus with curator Kate Bonansinga and artist Tanya Condiani. Kate was the founding director of the Stanley and Gerald Rubin Center for Visual Arts at the University of Texas at El Paso, and she's interested in museums as dynamic sites for learning. And Tanya lives in Mexico City. Her work has been shown all over the world, including Mexico City, Los Angeles, Madrid, and Warsaw. Kate, let me start with you, because you're the curator of this show.
Okay.
So tell me, what are you finding in the artistic expressions around the border?
When I was the director at the Rubin Center, I decided to craft a curatorial focus about that particular geographic divide because of the location of the Rubin Center directly on the border. And so I made it my mission to find artists who had an interest in U.S.-Mexico relations or in borders in general and were in a position to create work that responded to our particular place and time. So because I was an outsider, I grew up in Ohio and lived for a time in the Pacific Northwest and then went down to El Paso in 1999. And it was I brought a sort of an outsider's view to the place and was very interested in sort of that dynamic of what I could bring as new eyes and what artists who were more familiar with that territory, with the two of us together, what new light we could shed on that. But what Tanya contributes, which I know you're going to talk with her about, is not so much about the politics between the U.S. and Mexico, but more about envisioning a new world where there aren't borders and where there's no prejudice at all.
How are artists that you've worked with challenging our notions of the border and the idea of border in general? You just mentioned Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
Are there more of them kind of doing?
I think what they're doing is they're creating connections rather than divisions.
Hmm.
It either critiques the divisions and envisions a new way to deal with those divisions or attempts to think about a world where those divisions didn't exist.
Tanya, I want to turn to you
and
ask. Your website offers this description of your artistic ideas. My creative processes continue linked with language, and my intention is increasingly oriented towards the materiality of sound, the idea of automaton, the possibilities of mechanisms, and the sensible experience with architecture. Can you talk a little bit, talk a little bit more about that?
It touches a lot. It touches a lot, yeah. It's because my work actually touches many points. I mean, I work with different media, and I started as a painter, and then because of the projects, not because of the materials, I just moved to the three-dimensional, to the sculpture. And then, little by little, my interest with the instruments were increasing. I'm in love of the old, with the old machinery and devices and the obsolescence of the different mechanism and the media.
It's a little steampunkish.
It's a nostalgia, actually. So I try to reconnect them in any way possible. All my work always has this kind of thread that connects everything, which is language and text.
Can you talk about the piece you have in the show?
What you will see in the exhibition is the product of 5 days of discussions. We put together an amazing group of researchers and from mathematicians and electric engineering, biologic science, and discussing this idea of the utopia of a possible future. I mean, based on an utopia named Democracity, which comes from the 1939, which was our starting point for now in this present, project an ideal city for the future. The humankind has different ideas about what is the best way to live. And working with scientists, which are always thinking in the way to really make the things possible, it was an amazing challenge to make them evoke just the moment of an idea, right?
It's interesting you choose 1939. I think that year evokes a lot of things that things were already getting bad in certain
years. Yeah. Well, it was the New York
World's Fair.
Oh, okay. And they have this, they create this huge maquette which represents the future that never comes.
I think what I gathered from looking at your bio, you create ideas for machines or inventions that might not ever really exist, but they're like utopian machines.
Yes.
Talk about how that integrates with what the theme of the show is that she was talking about in terms of the border.
Well,
or maybe lack of border.
Well,
you
getting
rid of borders.
We actually talk a lot about borders during these sessions, these collaborative sessions, because as Kate says, I mean, it is a new world where borders aren't there anymore. I mean, that's the ideal world that we've been trying to discuss. But it's also borders between disciplines and borders between things that can be real and cannot.
So breaking down those borders.
Yeah, and finally we have like a three pieces which are like the whole, which compose the whole statement of our Interwave, which is the name of our project. One is a metaphor of a system, and is made with old instruments. All of them plugged together, and they work as a system, and it's a sound piece. Mm-hmm. Also, we got an amazing help from people from the School of Electric Engineer in the University.
University of New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. And all the instruments are from them. And one more, which is just the drawings of all these new inventions born in the, mm-hmm. in these conversations.
Now, you were born in Mexico City and you still live there. Given the turmoil in Mexico over the last few years, what is it like to be an artist there?
I born in Mexico City, but I lived in Tijuana for 15 years. For that, I mean, I was pretty related with the physical border. I mean, the border was in Tijuana goes inside the sea. I mean, it's mm-hmm. so terrible and it's so present, right? And of course, the situation just touches me and touches us, all us, no? So I left Tijuana when it was super, super dangerous. It was like 4 years ago. There was a certain moment that was everybody was with guns in the street and you don't know if it was a policeman or a soldier or a narco. It's so sad to see how we became less impressive of what is happening. I mean, in the news,
it became normal. You mean
it became normal. Yeah. I mean, you can read 35 bodies were found one day, and the following day 72, and the following day 20, and they're part of the news, and you just read it just like if it's normal, right? So. As a Mexican, I think we Mexicans have to fight against that.
Is it there? Does it just seep into your unconscious no matter what you do?
I think it's politically charged with all the situation. And I think as an artist, my compromise is just to work mm-hmm. hard and also try to make people think in other kind of realities, the possible realities that are just parallel to that violence, right?
Kate, the show is a mix of male and female artists.
Right.
So I should say that.
Yes, it is.
We're on Women's Focus. I'm talking with a female mm-hmm. artist. But how did you go about choosing the artists that would be in the show and in your book? I mean, what kind of topics are they exploring?
Mm-hmm. Well, for my book, I chose the artists who I felt had created the most magnificent pieces of my tenure there. So they were commissioned works, and they somehow related to El Paso as a place. So that's how I chose them. And also, there's a certain generation. So as artists born in the 1960s and 1970s, I had shown many, many younger artists and many, many more veteran artists, too. So I picked that as a time frame. And because of the generation, they tended to be focused on video, sculpture, and performance. So those were the parameters I worked with. For the exhibition, I wanted a mixture of Mexicans and U.S. citizens and a mixture of male and female. And also people that I knew, based on my experience with them, would really seize the opportunity and create something once again new and exciting.
Talk a little bit about Margarita Cabrera. She's
right.
one of the artists.
Right.
I was looking at the picture, her piece, it's like this full-size tractor.
Right.
That's made in clay, and it's basically the motif of the tree of life,
right.
which you see all over Mexico.
Right, yeah. So she took a John Deere tractor, which is of course, a U.S.-based company, multinational company, but it's an icon of U.S. industry and also of U.S. agriculture. And she reshaped it to look like a Mexican tree of life, which you see on a lot of the decorative arts in Mexico.
So it's got clay slip all over it.
It's got clay. She actually made molds off of the parts of the tractor and then cast slip into them. Her concern is that a huge percentage of U.S.-based agricultural workers are Mexican nationals. And that's what her piece is about. Again, talking about if we were a borderless society, it wouldn't matter. But because we do have borders and because Mexican labor is less expensive than U.S.-based labor, that's why we offer them a place to live and work. So that's what that piece references, is the fact that there is economic and social inequality between the two countries, and this is one of the results. She also created tools, hand tools, out of clay, also referencing the Tree of Life.
And she has another piece that's a cactus?
Yes.
It's made out of Border Patrol
that's
uniforms.
That's right. There's two cacti, and she, like Tanya, is interested in community practice, so she fabricated the cacti, which is, of course, the quintessential Southwest desert plant, which is the region that most of the U.S.-Mexico border is in the United States anyway. The U.S. side is desert. And so she's created these desert plants out of Border Patrol uniforms, and then she invited community members from various cities in the border region and beyond, actually. The ones that we see in the gallery were made by Houston, residents of Houston, but most of them were immigrants. And they embroidered their stories onto the cacti that she had created.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's a collaborative piece.
Oh, okay. So have the artistic responses to the border changed over the years?
Well, I think when most people think of border, quote-unquote border art, it's more pigeonholed as what was happening during the Chicano resistance movement of the 1970s. So it's very image-based and specific. And now that's all changed. I think that artists of caliber who are responding to the border are responding to it as a sociopolitical phenomena, like many in the world that are inequitable or worthy of critique. So it's a much more expansive vision of what kind of artistic responses the border encourages.
It was more. Based on identity, right?
In the 70s, which is when the Chicano resistance movement was.
And yes, it was more like asserting vigilance systems of control, mechanisms of control, and more like a metaphorical border. Or the idea, the conceptual idea of border, right?
It's what has shaped it into being, that's right. And I think that Chicano resistance movement, like many of, the Black Pride movement or any of those movements in the United States that were started by minorities at the time, it was a resistance to what they perceived as being social oppression. And I don't think that that's so much what the border is bringing as far as the artwork goes right now.
It's very interesting you're opening these other ideas of maybe utopia or maybe breaking down borders, but it's not supposed to be, I'm guessing, utopia in a faraway land that we can't have here. You're actually asking people to consider expanding their horizons of what's possible.
And some of the ideas that came up in these meetings were for the very immediate future, right? I mean, all these solar energy researchers, and they are really trying to make it happen, and also about the food, and it's just a way to make something different and not just think, also propose and try to make it happen, right?
Kate, you have other events as part of the
exhibit
coming up. So there's a forum today at 4 o'clock.
Directly followed by an opening reception from 6 to 8.
And then in November, poetry, right?
Right.
Latina and indigenous poetry.
That's right, yeah. On November 14th, the poetry event at 7 p.m., Indigenous and Latina poets. And then on the 7th, there is a dialogue at the National Hispanic Cultural Center's education program about immigration, identity, and cultural exchange.
Oh, great. And you can find out more about that at 516arts.org. You can also call 242-1445. That's 516Arts in Albuquerque, 516 Central Southwest. Thank you both for coming here, Kate and Tanya. It's been really interesting.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for inviting us.